It's time to separate fact from fiction and health fads. It's time for the Dr. Holly Lucille Show. Here's Dr. Holly.
Hey folks, it is Dr. Holly Lucille here, and I appreciate each and every one of you for tuning in. I want to talk about something that has become near and dear to my heart, because without it, I don't think that I can be effective in helping people. And it's the idea of adherence. And I want to distinguish between compliance and adherence, because the whole concept started creeping into my mind and my practice and everything that I do really in the last decade, because I have to honor, you know, when people go from not knowing any better, and I think Maya Angelou said it, or maybe Oprah said it, or Oprah said it after Maya did, but maybe if we know better, we do better. Hopefully that's the case, right? So, and as I will always say, there's value in all systems of medicine. And I think that there are pharmaceutical agents out there that save millions of lives every single year. I'm not talking about not taking medications. I'm talking about, can we use the least invasive methods first? Are there dietary modifications? Are there lifestyle interventions? Are there clinical nutrients that can be dose dependent, that can be helpful? Are there botanical medicines that are well-researched and evidence-based? I say yes, I think so. And so, you know, but when you go from a system of medicine where it's, okay, your doctor says, here, take this. And then you go and you go out of that 5 minute or so visit, you go to your pharmacy and get it filled. And then in the morning, you unscrew that cap, you take that medication, and boom, that's your healthcare. And you come to see somebody like me, and I'm asking to do all of this stuff. I got to tell you, here's the deal. It's been hard for folks, and I honor it. I really do. But I got to see it as an obstacle to people being well. I have to be in there and help then. It's not like, oh, well, you aren't in for it. Well, then you're not for me. No, we got to identify this as a problem, and I've seen it. Because the definition of compliance is, okay, I'm going to do what somebody says, all right? But adherence, I love this part. It's the faithful attachment to something. And, you know, my whole shout out about being our own primary care providers, you know, your own PCP. I love that, right? Because aren't we really at the end of the day primarily in charge of providing care for ourselves? Certainly there's educated folks in the medical realms that can guide us, make recommendations, certainly be with us as partners, but we have rights to prescribe. People have to be informed and understand what they're putting in their body. That's my biggest thing. And so, you know, when I first began practicing over a decade ago, well, it's about 15, 16 years now, I think my boundaries with patients were flimsy at best. I mean, I was so motivated and passionate about them doing well and following through with my recommendations that I would end up walking them sometimes to their cars while still educating and still explaining and, you know, well after our visit had ended. I mean, I think if I could have gone home with a few of them to help implement the plan, I know I would have. You know, of course, upon the return visit, if I learned that the plan wasn't followed or that my patient hadn't progressed, I took it kind of personally and wondered, you know, what could I have done better? Well, thankfully, with time and practice, my boundaries firmed up and I began to trust deeply in my work. It was helpful to remind myself that I truly am only a part of the equation in this partnership that I have with folks and cannot be successful without my patients doing their part as well. However, I was still craving some reassurance that after that visit was over and they had left the supportive, almost cheerleading environment of my office, that my patients could comply with my recommendations. And one of the tools I incorporated, and this has helped me a lot, and it was introduced to me actually by this kid that was, I was on a plane, and he had this really weird looking Rubik's Cube. It wasn't square, it was octagon plus. And he was like fussing with it, and of course, that's a conversation starter, so I started asking conversations. But he was in design, and these at the time he was working on these printers that print stuff, not just paper, okay? Like stuff, like amazing things. So he introduced me to the adherence loop. Now this was a loop developed, it was kind of a concept developed by Dr. Devorah Klein. And there, you know, the adherence loop model is this. A patient adherence can be defined as a patient playing an active and willing role in their plan of care to gain maximum benefit. Okay, so active and willing. So more than just here, take this, unscrewing that medication bottle after you get it filled. It is exactly what I want for my practice, right? In order for people to adhere to a plan, there are certain action points they need to move through, almost sort of like in a loop type fashion. Okay, and this was the adherence loop that I learned about. And I thought about it. I'm like, this is exactly what I need to start really bring it into my practice and teaching people, because they don't know that they're like, forget it. I have to change my diet. I have to take more time out of my day to actually prepare food. I have to take these dose dependent nutrients, you know, several times throughout the day, you know, or throughout the day perhaps. A belief, you know, people need to believe, this is part of the loop, that they have the condition, right? And that the recommendations will work and that they can be successful. Those are some things. They need to also frame things to build a mental model or framework of how the recommendations will work on their condition, whatever they're presenting with. They also need to know. They need to know that know the rules and what to expect, all right? So part of this is on me. They need to be prompted as well. So knowing what to do is not often enough for folks. And I've learned this throughout my years. People need cues and reminders to prompt action. If I have somebody taking something three times a day, and believe it or not, folks, these botanical medicines that are evidence-based, researched botanical medicines that we use, you can go to greenmedinfo.com if you have any doubt about that. Anybody listening, we are indexing or say or die. And they are indexing all of the research based on natural medicines or more natural medicines. Sometimes they're dose dependent and they're better taking throughout the day. But gosh, three times a day, sometimes it's hard enough for somebody just to get down a multivitamin that's just a one a day. So there needs to be prompting. All right. What is that? An iPhone alarm clock? A smartphone alarm clock or any phone that you have? Is that just an alarm clock? What is it? A cue? Is it if you're doing Kegel exercises to increase circulation around your pelvic floor? Is it if you're in a commute? Is it any time that you hit the brakes? Do you do those? What are the prompts? There also needs to be action. Action is required, action actually requires resources. So we think of physical, cognitive, emotional, social, and financial. How do you act? A lot of times, quite honestly, in my practice, if somebody needs to go through a great dietary change, if they have the resources, I actually have them do something like a food delivery system for a week even. It shows them, one, what a proper portion size is, two, some ideas that they can start preparing at home for themselves, all right? But action needs to be taken. And then there has to be reinforcement. There has to be reinforcement. The feedback reinforces belief to strengthen and drive adherence. But so often I saw this loop working, but it also, you know, upon my follow-up visit, I noticed that if this loop was broken somewhere and compliance had become an issue, I started to ask some questions because, you know, I always think, you got to identify, you know, where those obstacles are. I wanted to use this to help figure out where this loop was broken. You know, as far as belief, do patients want to change, or is someone else telling them that they need to? You know, is their doctor saying, I'm going to put you on a statin medication if you don't lose weight and you've got 3 weeks to do it? Do they believe that there's really a solution? You know, I gotta know this. From a framing perspective, do patients have an accurate understanding of their health? You know, how educated are they? Are there any misunderstandings? That's really important. Do they know what to expect from carrying out recommendations? As far as knowing, do patients understand the rules of the regimen? You know, I have so many people like, well, I didn't really do that because I didn't have time. I'm like, are you kidding me? That was like the anchor. That was the biggest part of the equation. How could you know? Like, that's what's going on inside of me. But these are things that I have to ask. This is a great follow-up visit. Where was this adherence loop sort of in and of itself interrupted? All right. From an acting point, is there a physical, is the therapy physically hard? You know, is it painful? Is it difficult? Is it socially challenging? Is it embarrassing? I mean, I've had people come back and it's like, I don't want to bring my supplements out in the middle of dinner. All sorts of things. You know, is there feedback that the therapy isn't working? You know, the reinforcement aspect. So really important to understand it, you yourself, listeners, if you're going for that big dietary change, you're doing things more natural, if you can't adhere to a program, the biggest thing is that we just ask questions. Why? What are the obstacles to that? Very, very important. Awareness is power. It's not the answers. It's that we ask good questions. I'm Dr. Lucille. Thank you so much, Sona, for keeping us on track. Radio MD and RadioMD.com.